Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I love Christmas, and this season, not just, you know, the 22nd or the 24th or the 25th, this season is when we acknowledge and we celebrate the birth of Jesus. As Rick spoke earlier, just a few minutes ago, Rick Perryman, when he came up front, sometimes people, oh, we made a mess of it. The Lord had to send Jesus. No. The Lord knew we were going to make a mess of it. It was always plan A. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, the scripture says. It was always his plan. He made provision for us before there was ever a need. He's amazing, absolutely amazing, and uniquely, and you might be one of those people, well, I don't think we should celebrate every day. Okay, great, I understand that. And I was probably like you for many years, but I've changed. There are times and seasons when we give special notoriety, special remembrance, and it's beautiful, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. And this season, we do acknowledge there's a king who took off all nobility, took off all beauty, all majesty, all splendor. It was perfection in heaven. And he said, I want those people, my people, the people who are made in my image, I want them to know I care, that I love them, that I'm with them, that I'm for them. And I want to demonstrate my love to them. And Jesus set all his beauty aside, and he came in the form of a man, of a baby, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. What kind of king would do that? What kind of king would set aside his nobility to humble himself and then to ultimately die for a people who are ungrateful? What kind of king would do that? I've never heard of such a thing. I love Christmas. I love it, I love it, I love it. I also love traditional Christmas music. Does anybody here like traditional Christmas music? Okay, you know how my wife said earlier it's not a competition? That's wrong. I like Christmas music more than you. Tom, why would you say that? Because I can listen to it year-round. 365. And I know people, why would they have Christmas? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. May it go. May it blare. May it play. July 5. April 9, September 4. I love Christmas music. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And some of the Christmas songs that we sing, there's actually the words are almost better than some of the ones we sing the other times of the year. And I'm trying. I'm trying. I really am. I'm trying. Pray for me. But I love Christmas. I love so much about it. But I do not love the Western American commercialization of it. There's just some of it's like, it drives me nuts. It's a short drive, but it drives me nuts. More of a putt, really, than a drive. It's the obsession with getting stuff. You know, And again, my kids would never have done it because my kids were practically perfect. But you ever see like videos of kids and they're just ripping packages open, ripping, and there's the toy and they throw it to the side and go to the next one and they're like, hey, that was a really nice gift. What gift? The one you just ripped open and threw to the corner. And I wonder how often I do that as an adult. Completely miss the gifts that he's given me. I should just stop and acknowledge. Say, thank you. I've got 2 feet on the ground. I've got breath in my body. Jesus, help me. Help me, help me, help me. It's funny about gifts. Anybody, who here loves getting gifts? You just love it. Hand up, hand up, hand up. Okay, keep those hands up. You love getting gifts. Heather, okay. All right, has anybody ever heard of this goofy book called The Five Love Languages? Uh-huh. Anybody ever heard of it? Yeah, I read my Bible. Sorry, I love that book, The Five Love Languages. I love it. But you know what is my very last of my five love languages?
Gifts.
Gifts! It's like 3%. It's almost negligible. It doesn't even register. It just doesn't mean that much to me until you give me chocolate chip cookies. It registers. Yes, soft or hard. But I'm a cookie snob. Don't give me store-bought cookies. I was raised by a mother who loved me. She's with the Lord. She's baking things right now for me in preparation. I love chocolate chip cookies. But if it's store-bought, just you waste those calories on you. I don't want to be picky. I'm not a snob. I just like homemade cookies. It's a beautiful thing. And chocolate is heaven made, so it's not like it's an earthly thing. It's from heaven. You know, in the Bible, this is all off track. Lord Jesus, help me. It says in Revelation, there's like a river. It's like a river. It's like a crystal. It's actually, it's chocolate. And it has like the gold and the silver sheen on top of it. It's a chocolate river, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to see. But I love Christmas. I really do. I love it. I love it. I love it. For me, and somebody just asked me yesterday, what do you love about Christmas? Family. I love just getting family together and being home. I love it. It's just my favorite time of the year. Celebrating with those people that I'm close to and I so appreciate, so love. Christmas food is great. Anybody like Christmas food? What is Christmas food? I'm sorry. I'm glad you asked. It's turkey. It's stuffing. It's mashed potatoes. It's gravy. And because my wife loves me, we don't have pumpkin pie. We don't have sweet potatoes. We don't have cranberry. We don't waste calories on that junk. Save it for a day we don't celebrate. I love Christmas. And I have a quick question for you, just to ponder for 17 seconds. If you think back on all your years, if you're 17, you can do this. This is good for you. If you're 77, we'll give you 30 seconds, a little more time, because you'll have more to categorize. What was your best Christmas ever? This is rhetorical, which means you don't shout it out. That's a challenge for us, I know that. What was your best Christmas ever and why? Just think about it for a second. Not a trick question. I'm probably not going to ask you to come up front, Tim. Probably not. What was your best Christmas ever, but why? Think about it. I know that's not the full time, but you've had plenty of time. For some of you, maybe it was, I had a new baby, my first baby around the 20th. That was my most special Christmas. Some people got married around Christmas. Oh, that was great. Well, at least your wife is happy about it. I didn't hear Dave say anything. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo for her. Glad she's excited. Was it on Christmas Day or just around the year?
29th.
Oh, my mom and dad's anniversary was the 28th. That's kind of like a post-Christmas though, right? But I mean, it's a gift that keeps giving. I mean, yeah, look at you. Maybe your best Christmas was that car in the driveway and has a bow on it. We have a picture of that. Sometimes people get, there you go. That's my wife's dream to come someday. In Jesus' name. Maybe that was your favorite Christmas. I think he just needs to snap and get like a red car, as we saw earlier. Sorry, Randy, no Christmas car yet. I can so easily remember my favorite Christmas ever. It was so easy. 1973, I was a teenager, living in Bridgeton, Missouri, just across the river. It was the greatest Christmas ever. And my mom and dad, I think the whole Christmas that was so good for me when I was 13 was all a guilt offering. They felt horrible as parents. They had just told me, we're moving from St. Louis to Denver. I'm leaving all my best friends. I mean, I had great friends. I think they just lavished it on me. And I was happy to receive it. They got me a brand new football, a brand new baseball and baseball glove. They bought me a new tennis racket. They bought me a new bowling ball. And they bought me a brand new hockey stick. And for some of you, you don't know what those things are. You're probably a Cubs fan. But I got all that on one Christmas. I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus loves me. My mom and dad love me. My birthday's coming. I can't wait. This is so cool. But what was, for you again, what was that, the best Christmas you ever had, the best gift you ever received? Maybe you recall, and it was that October, and you got 2 tickets to Game 7 of the Cardinals, and they won the World Series. Oh, man, that year, it was just so amazing. It was great. That would be particularly sweet. Many of the people in this room would agree that the greatest gift ever was Jesus. It's like always the right answer. I remember in Bible school, I might have that squirrel mentality. I just remember sitting, and some of the teachers, they so bored me. I mean, these are Bible teachers, and I'm in Bible school. I'm supposed to be paying attention, right, squirrel? And I learned real quick. Those teachers will look at you, and it's like discernment or something. Tom, what do you think about that? What's the right answer? Jesus. They didn't buy it. But anytime I'm in confusion, the best gift ever was Jesus. The Bible story about Christmas, it's so simple, but it's all about the best Christmas gift ever. When the Father sent His Son for you and me. And what happened, I think, was anybody here when Isaac Little preached a couple weeks ago? It was amazing. I loved it. And Isaac touched on Mary. And what qualified Mary and Mother Mary. Well, she wasn't a mother. Well, yeah, she was. Yeah, she ended up being a mother. And some people still call her Mother Mary. Maybe that was your church background. And she was an amazing woman. But this morning I want to talk just a little bit about Mary. What happened to Mary was so unique, so unprecedented. Nothing had ever happened like what happened to Mary ever. And since, nothing has happened like that ever. Ever. Totally unique. Never heard of. Adam, the first human being, was made from dirt, the Bible says. And God breathed into Adam. His wife, Eve, was taken from his side. So much to say about that, I'm going to let that go. But Eve was taken from his side, his rib. They had kids. That's the normal way humanity happens. And in the Bible even talks about so many barren women. No children. And miracle happens. Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Hannah. Barren women and babies come. The Bible also talks about old ladies. Careful. Seasoned women. Miraculously had babies. Sarai. Abraham, I think she was 90. That seems fairly seasoned. Elizabeth, we'll maybe read just a little bit about Elizabeth, Mary's cousin this morning. Seasoned. But again, the Bible talks about miracles and babies. It's common in the Bible. It talks about it all the time. But not the way Mary had her baby. You never heard of something like that before or since. Randy and I even know 3 different marriages where the gentleman had a vasectomy and they had babies. Surprise! It happens. But you can understand, humans go the human way and babies happen. Does that sound right? Yeah. They go the human way? Yeah. Normal human reproduction, and babies are born. It's normal. Late in life babies, okay, it happens, but really unusual. But it's not impossible. until this story with this woman. It's impossible. It requires a man and a woman, always. It's impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. It's impossible, but God. In Luke 1:34, the Bible says this. This is the story, we'll read it again in a minute. But in Luke 1:34, the Bible says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." That can't happen. Do we all agree that can't happen? It can't happen. It's impossible. But for Jesus' mother, who is a very, very young teenager named Mary, I don't know that at times the gift that she was given felt like such a great gift. Especially, potentially, initially. She's a young, young teenager. We don't have an exact age, whether she was 13, 14, or 15. We just know she was a very young teenager. Engaged, betrothed, to be married. But by her own words, never been with a man. Can you imagine a 14-year-old coming to you? Maybe it's your 14-year-old daughter. And she says, "Mom, something incredible has happened. An angel appeared to me." Okay. And the tale is told. Your 14-year-old daughter, dad, comes to you. Says, "Well, I don't know how to say it, but an angel appeared to me. And it appears I'm pregnant." Oh. Oh, some of us are laughing. Some of us would get red ears. Not because we're elfin. We're mad. Can you imagine for Mary? It actually happened. An angel visited her. And as she tells her story, as she's telling the truth, can you imagine for this young teenager the ridicule that she would have found from everyone? Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, the priest in the synagogue. 14-year-old little Susie's pregnant. Oh, an angel came to me. Right. The whispers in the town, the wagging tongues. Anybody remember the girls in high school who got pregnant? Anybody remember? The stories that were told? No angels. The whispers. All the projected shame upon this young girl. Because people will easily, happily project shame on them. If they don't feel it themselves, it's projected by people. People would have been downright angry with this young virgin, Mary. Angry with her. How dare you blame your sin on God? How dare you, Mary? How dare you blame this on God? Trying to pin this on some preposterous story about an angel. Sure. How dare you blame the Lord? It's actually a far bigger sin that you're doing, Mary, than what you actually did. Blaming it on God? Who do you think you are? You're just a wicked young lady. Have you no conscience? We thought you were sweet and lovely, innocent Mary. How could you do this? Not that. How could you blame it on God? Mary, just be honest. We will deal with this. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. We'll come to terms with it. But just be honest. Stop lying. Repent. We'll deal with it. We'll go and talk to the priest. We'll figure out how to do this. You and Joe, we'll figure out the future with Joe. We'll talk about Joe. We thought we loved Joe. We can forgive. We can move on. It's going to be okay, sweetheart. But stop lying. You're only making it worse. Can Can you think how this girl would feel? She's done nothing wrong. She did. There's no mention of, Lord, can you do something spectacular? Can you give me a really weird life so I'll stand out? She's not wanting to stand out. She's just living life. And something happens to her that nobody believes. But she knows. She knows. Even Joseph might wonder, her husband-to-be. He knows it wasn't him, but it had to be somebody. Just be honest. Never before in the history of humanity has something like this happened. Never. Nothing even close to it. And the pain is, I have heard so many different times, the pain of women who can't get pregnant, can't have a baby. And then they find this kind of stuff. And it's like, Lord, what about me? What about me? And yet this young girl, Mary, she's an impossibly young teenager. She's beautifully and perfectly innocent. She's the picture of purity. And everyone knows she's lying. She's pure. And she received news that one day that her life was forever changed. Because it wasn't like a bad week or a bad weekend or a bad month. And so much so, we don't know the reason why, but she did get sent away to her cousin Elizabeth. We don't know if that was her wanting to go be with her cousin or if the parents were like, oh no, you need to go. Go. People are talking enough. It's an unusual story. Can you imagine in heaven? Some people are like, why Mary? You ever wonder why her? Why Mary? Was she that wonderful? And some people are only like, well, you know, I guess they had the lottery in heaven. Father said, hey, Jesus, pull a name. Mary. Is that Peoria Mary? Is that, which Mary is it? Mary was hand-selected. Out of all women, all history, that's the woman that I'm going to trust to carry my son. She's that wonderful. She's that amazing. She's that godly. She's that innocent. That is the woman that will carry my son and bear all the guilt, all the burden, all the whispers. That's this Mary. She's amazing. Luke 1, 26 to 38, the scripture says this. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's her cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings. She didn't have an appointment with the angel that day. I can't wait for Thursday. I'm going to see this angel named Gabriel. It's going to be so cool. I wonder what he's going to say. She's just at home doing Mary things. And an angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That's all he said to start. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. In verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. The angel Gabriel hasn't said anything about a baby yet. No mention of a baby. And yet she's sitting there. What are you talking about, highly favored? That's what she's troubled about. Not talking about pregnancy at this point. That's what the Bible says. What kind of girl is this? She's so tender, so innocent, so pure, that heaven would notice me? That's all she's troubled about. That heaven thinks I'm favored? That's how sensitive this girl is. Just the greeting troubles her. Verse 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Why would the angel say, don't be afraid? She's afraid. She's afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's a whole bunch of information. If I'm recording it, that's a whole bunch of information. And she's getting just like this. All this. What? What? What was his name? And here you see the humanity of this little girl. Verse 34. She's like, whoa. Stop. How? Verse 34. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin, I've never been with a man. The angel answered, oh, no problem. Got this covered. It's all right. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Oh. Oh, yeah. Got that. Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. Okay, sure. Because we know the story. We know what happens. 2000, we know all the story. But what if it's you? So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Son of who? The Son of God. And the angel goes on and says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. There's no expiration date on what God has said. Amen. And what God says is the final verdict.
Amen. Amen.
Now what your mom said, honestly, not what your husband says, when it's in conflict with the Bible, when it's in conflict with what heaven says. What does God say? I may have given up because it's never come to pass. It's too late. Expiration date. I missed it. For no word from God will ever fail. And her response is so beautiful, so perfect. Why this Mary right here? Verse 38, we don't have to look any further. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Why her? Right there. May it be done unto me according to your word, a different translation says. I do believe with all my heart, the Lord is not looking for crazy, incredible things from me. He really isn't. He just wants me to say, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand. I don't understand the pain I'm going through. I don't understand why things haven't happened the way I expected them to happen, why I don't get blessed like they do, why I'm still single, why I don't have children, why my husband is my husband. I don't understand, Lord, but no word from God will ever fail. What God says will happen, will happen. And am I a Mary? I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. My answer is yes, Lord. It can't be. It's impossible. I've never been with men. I don't care. God, you said it. May it happen. There's no miracles for Mary up to this point. There's no completed missionary trips. Does it say that she served in a soup kitchen every Friday? She has no qualifications. That's what Isaac was talking about a couple weeks ago. She's done nothing. She's not Mother Teresa from Calcutta. You've done so good. Have a baby. You proved yourself faithful. What has she done? Nothing. Nothing. Other than walk humbly with God and make great choices on the little things that I'm doing today, right now. Everyone else is doing this. Everyone else cheats on their taxes. Everyone else looks at porn. Everyone else sleeps with their girlfriend. But Lord, I may have done those things, but today I want to be different. I can't be Mother Teresa in Calcutta. I'm probably not going to serve every Friday in the soup kitchen. Lord, I can start today afresh and say, I want to serve you and trust you and start again. Mary was just plain. And Isaiah 53, I read it earlier at the very beginning of the meeting. It says, Jesus, there was nothing beautiful about him. What does that mean? He's just a normal Joe-looking guy. You'd walk right past him. He wasn't like, who's a handsome guy? Oh, he's not Tom Selleck. Wow, movie star. Ooh, he must be. He just looks like Ed. Sorry, Ed. He looks like Carl. He's just a normal-looking guy, Jesus. Why? Because I think his mom was just normal-looking. I don't think Mary looked like a movie star. She's just a 14-year-old teen girl, probably with pimples. Why her? Because she just loved God. She hadn't done anything supernatural other than love God and avoid evil and said no to her fiancé, no to temptation, no to sin. I'm just not going to do what everyone else is doing. What caught heaven's eye? Her character. That's it. You got a soft heart? The beauty of her character. Mary was a reflective person. Mary, she wasn't this out there, Mary, you're highly favored. I know. I've been waiting. Been claiming my promises. About time. What's your name? That's not Mary. It's not her. She is probably very much an introvert. Probably doesn't think all that highly of herself compared to all the other girls in the village. She is a ponderer. She's reflective. She's a thinker. She's not all full of herself. She's uncomplicated in her faith towards God. I just love the Lord. It's a simple belief. And God says, that's who I want to carry my son. That's who I want to carry my promise. What are the promises you're carrying? What are the promises you're carrying? Mary simply said this, Lord, I don't understand. It can't be. It simply can't be. But I trust you. And God had an invitation for her. I want to send my son into your life. Jenny, what do you think about that? God wants to invite and did invite a son named Jesus into Mary's life. And you know what she said? Yes. I'll take Jesus into my life. I'll take Jesus into my life. And there's people here today. You're here because your dad made you come. You felt guilty, almost like with my guilt presence when I was 13 years old. Fine. My parents blessed me just because they love me. Good, fine. Maybe you're in church. Okay, fine. We're going to have a nice lunch. We'll do that. I have no idea why you're here this morning. But all I can say is this. Your Father in heaven loves you. Whether you've been listening, whether you care, whether you're even interested in the things of God, your Father in heaven loves you. And he wants to send someone named Jesus into your life today. Today. This day. This day for Mary was just like any other day. Until God's invitation comes and says, this day, I want to send Jesus into your life. What do you say, Mary, yes or no? For you sitting here today, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus coming into your life. This is that day. Maybe you're here and you used to go to church. You've been in so many churches and you gave up because people hurt you. Yeah, welcome to the team. People hurt us. And maybe you gave up on church because of people. But God loves you. And he has someone named Jesus in store for you. New hope, new faith. He wants to heal you of your heart pain and bring you back into family relationship with him. Maybe today you just need a fresh start. You need to go back to that place where Jesus was everything to you. When you were 13, when you were 15, when you were at that Baptist camp at 18, you gave your heart to Jesus. And then college came, you got all confused and things happened. Jesus wants to break into your world, just like Mary's today, this day. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you have plans for us.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.